Welcome to the Healthcare IT Today CIO podcast. I'm John Lin, the founder and chief editor at Healthcare IT Today, and I'm excited to bring you the most practical healthcare CIO insights and perspectives. We know your job is challenging and we want to help you be more successful. And our guest today is Dr. Donald Levick. He's a consultant, former CMIO, and current pediatrician at Lehigh Valley Health Network. Welcome, Don.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and Lehigh Valley Health Network.
Sure. So I'm a pediatrician, originally from Philadelphia, moved to Allentown and the Lehigh Valley in 1985 to join a practice. And over the years, got involved in the administrative side of medicine and then the IT side of medicine. And the last 20 years of my career were spent mostly in the IT department, first as a physician champion, and then eventually as the first chief medical information officer at LVHN, Lehigh Valley Health Network. We went through, as we'll probably talk about, many implementations and changes and growth at the network. And in 2020, after doing that for a while, I decided to step back and begin my road into retirement.
I love that retirement is actually working still for most former CMIOs, you know, as consultants. Because I mean, I guess it's probably a passion, right? You know, people have a passion for it and it's been such an integral part of their life that it's hard to step away. Right. It's interesting.
So Lehigh Valley Health Network is a rapidly growing health system in the Lehigh Valley and surrounding areas. Excuse me. We have 13 hospital campuses, including a children's hospital, over 300 practice locations, 28 health centers, over 20,000 employees, including 1,600 physicians and 850 APCs. There's over 72,000 acute admissions and 250,000 ED visits per year. So it's a big organization that continues to grow and was growing a lot during my tenure as CMIO.
Wow, that's, I mean, I think we sometimes forget how large health systems have gotten and how many lives they actually impact. So that thanks for offering that perspective. You know, I want to dive into your experience as CMIO, and you know, we're in an interesting period, I think, for healthcare technology, and kind of an uncertain period, as I would kind of describe it. But how do you think CMIOs can respond to what is, I think, universally shrinking margins and increasing demands for their services? What would you do, and what would you suggest to CMIOs to how they can respond to this environment?
So part of it, I think, depends on where in the evolution the organization is in terms of its IT maturity. Most organizations have implemented their EMRs now, and so they have a, you know, maybe a system-wide EMR. If they've acquired other health systems, then there could be multiple EMRs that they need to figure out how to live with or integrate into one, and that obviously changes priorities if that's a goal. But if you're in an organization where the EMR has been implemented, you're probably in the optimization period or trying to leverage the technology to do more. So I think from the CMIO standpoint, part of it is understanding the priorities of the institution. So dollars are very limited. As you mentioned, you know, they're shrinking, the margin is shrinking. And so the idea of, you know, this is a cool technology, maybe we should do that, you know, that no longer can fly like it did in days when the margins were up over 5% or higher in some organizations. So these days, with the margins so squeezed, I think that CMIOs need to understand what the organizational priorities are. And then that's where you try and target and leverage the technology to help the organization meet those priorities. So I think if you can figure it out, that should be where you target your energies, because that's where you'll get the most traction. And potentially that's where you'll get the best funding, because you'll be helping the organization achieve one of its goals, whether it's quality or financial or volume based, you know, or whatever.
Interesting. I think it's interesting you focus so much on the electronic health record. I mean, it's such a core part of every business. Would that be part of your response too? Is leveraging it to the max as opposed to going out and finding other systems, or do you think that, you know, what's the right mix between like kind of leveraging your EHR versus, you know, looking for outside tools as well?
So I think part of it is the organizational culture in terms of build versus buy. So if the CIO and potentially the CEO are buy kind of people and they get attracted to shiny new toys that they see at conferences or they see their peers using, and then, you know, they'll try and bring those in. And then the challenge is trying to figure out whether the existing technology can do that, in which case you want to try and build it, or whether or not the path of least resistance is then to buy it and tack it on. You know, either way has costs and benefits in terms of labor and just effort and maintenance and upkeep. But again, I think sometimes those decisions are not in the CMIO's hands and they're sort of handed to you. You know, I saw this new technology. It's really cool. We're putting it in. It's like, but wait, I think, you know, give me a couple analysts and I think we can build it. No, you know, we can't afford new analysts. So we're just going to buy this and pay consultants to help us implement it.
Interesting. Sounds like you had some firsthand experience with that one.
Not at all.
Yeah, it brings up an interesting question though around like, it's really a common debate, you know, on who should the CMIO report to. You know, is it the CEO? Is it the CIO? Is it the CMO? Is it the CFO? You know, like, how do you see it? Who should the CMIO report to?
So I think if you ask most CMIOs or CHIOs, as the role is evolving into chief health information officers, mm-hmm. they'll all tell you they should sit with the CEO. I mean, they, you know, obviously they all feel they're important enough and of value to the organization that they should be sitting at those tables with the other sort of executive C-level people in the organization. I think the reality is that in the majority of healthcare organizations, they still report either to the CIO or to the CMO, and often with a dotted line, one or the other. And I actually, as our CIOs changed and our CMOs changed, I reported to both. But again, you know, knowing where the money and the decisions are being made is probably as or more important than the actual reporting relationship. So, you know, for most of my CMIO tenure, I was reporting directly to the CMO with a dotted line to the CIO, but 80% of my efforts were targeted towards working with the CIO, you know, and just using the CMO for cover when I needed it or, you know, some political clout.
It's funny. I had a similar situation. It was a much smaller organization, but I reported to the IT department, but I was funded by the clinical area. So, you know, they were the ones spending the money. So, but, you know, luckily the IT person was like, well, if they're happy, I'm happy. So it's kind of nice, like you said, to have the dual reporting structure,
right.
But can right. be confusing at times. And then it actually, you know, I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, even you were talking about the CMIO reporting to the CMO, which there's a lot of, you know, CMO responsibilities that aren't necessarily tech related, but right. How do you see like the CMIO's primary, what do you see as the CMIO's primary role today in today's healthcare environment?
So again, I think it depends on where the evolution of the organization is. And so if it's a relatively mature organization that has an integrated EMR across their enterprise, then the idea of, you know, implementation or integration of systems is behind you. And at that point, you're into optimization. And optimization is, you know, myths of EMR implementation. You know, as you begin to implement, there are things that you put off to the side. You know, we'll get back to those. We'll implement that later. Great idea. You know, we'll get back to it. And in a lot of organizations, you never get back to it because you're on to the next big thing. And know, that team of for optimization that you thought you were going to have has now been redeployed somewhere else. So the idea of optimization, you know, is a changing definition. If it's just the wish list, it's one thing. If it's optimizing to meet organizational goals, that's a different thing. And so I think that, you know, the primary role at this point is ideally is to be part of the strategic discussions that are going on and to be able to bring in that clinical technical knowledge and experience to those discussions, whether they're about, you know, what to implement and when, moving towards things like population health and value-based care or risk-based care, you know, and how can we leverage the technology to get our clinical community to use the system better so that we can optimize our performance in those areas. And I think that's where the role is evolving to.
I mean, I find that one, you know, it's kind of a common challenge I've heard from a lot of people is how do you balance what your users are asking you to adjust, right? Or fix or modify or tweak or whatever versus the strategic priorities of the organization. And sometimes they don't align. You know, how did you address kind of that balance between, hey, I have 1,000 tickets from users that are all, you know, maybe some of them are easy fix, you know, hour fix, but of course it's still an hour, you know, versus the strategic priorities. And you know, how do you balance those two from a CMIO perspective?
So, I mean, that's the essence of the role. It's also, I think, the essence of any leadership role is, you know, balancing the needs of the constituencies versus the needs of the larger organization. And so I think that you could ask that question and just substitute, you know, different nouns for technology and change it to a different role. So I think, you know, that it's sort of a long discussion because you need to think about the politics of things, where you can get the most bang for the buck. And so the idea, you know, as an example, the idea of making a change or an optimization request for the cardiothoracic surgeons or the orthopedic surgeons who are, you know, potentially some of the economic drivers of the hospital in terms of inpatient care may take on more, that hour may be more valuable of what you get back than doing that change for the pain management team, you know, or for some other smaller or less economically impactful department. And that's probably something that's not talked about a lot out loud, but it's the reality of one of the factors that goes into the decision, you know, in terms of who's, you know, who's, where's the weight, where is the power in the organization. And so, so I think that's, you know, just an example of sort of how you balance all of that. And again, you know, two other, you know, you try and couch things in whether or not they're helping the organization meet its goals, you know. And so if you can redefine or paint it in that way, then it makes much more sense to pursue that versus something that's sort of completely outside of what everyone else is looking for. And yeah, then I think that, you know, to manage that is, you know, one of the best advice I received from my initial CIO was, you know, always tell the truth. And so, you know, if I had to get back to a clinician or a department who had a request and, you know, we knew we weren't going to do it, then I needed to just go tell them no. And here's why, you know, and here's what we can do for you. Here's what we can't do for you. And just be upfront about it.
Interesting. That's some real talk right there. I love it. Thanks for sharing that perspective. You know, as you look back at your time as CMIO, what do you think was the most successful project that you did and what made it successful?
So this is really dating myself because I'm old.
That's okay. And we like old stories.
So the first team I was put on, and when I joined sort of working with the IT team, was around 1999 into 2000. And the hospital had decided to implement computer physician order entry. So back then, 3% of hospitals were doing CPOE. That's it. And we decided we were going to do it. So we were entirely on paper at that point, you know, except for the registration system that, you know, that, that's used in the background. And so we had the opportunity to change the entire culture of the organization, which was much smaller back then, obviously. Change the culture of the organization and begin to move it towards the electronic age. So I was put on a team with several IT people, and we were very successful in getting this done. It was probably the most high performing team I've ever been part of. I mean, we completely designed this and implemented it, and indeed changed the culture. And I think that the CIO was smart enough to put together a team that we had an analyst who was a nurse. We had an analyst who was a pharmacist. We had an analyst with an educational background. And so to put them together, people that some of them that understood the clinical relevance of what we were doing. And again, back then we hadn't done really anything technical that was of such clinical impact as the nurses charting their vital signs and med administration and the providers putting their orders in electronically. I mean, you know, we'd have meetings where, you know, it was down to me saying, yeah, we could do this, but this could kill people. So maybe not a good idea. And I'd have to explain why. And that was new conversation for the IT department because they hadn't been developing in such deep clinical areas as that before.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And to think about the evolution, you know, the time they were probably keep the internet up, install a few desktops, some printers. Very different than, you know, CPOE. Why do you say it changed the culture of the organization? That's interesting. What was kind of the culture before and after?
So it was that culture of this is how we did it. You know, where's the paper chart? You know, let me write in there. You know, whenever the order gets transcribed, it gets transcribed by, you know, the nurse if it was a med, or the now we don't even have them anymore. I forget what they're called now. You know, the people that sat at each of the nurses' stations and transcribed the orders and
coded it.
they looked at the medication order and put it in a tube and tubed it to pharmacy, right? Yeah. And pharmacy would look at it. So I think the whole idea of the immediacy of putting orders in electronically, the immediacy of having data available when the nurses put in vitals or medications and being able to see that from anywhere was a gigantic change. And there were a lot of clinicians that, you know, that resisted that. And so I think all CMIOs that have been around as, you know, as long as I have, all have sort of these war stories of the clinicians that wouldn't change, that refuse to use the system, that no one's taking the pen out of my hand, you know, all that. And I could talk for hours about, you know, stories about how we had to, how we had to battle that and change people's perceptions and obviously change the culture that people then expected things to move much quicker, to be available electronically, to be available remotely. And then the culture evolved to, well, what can we do next? Not, you know, don't make me do anything more. It's like, hey, this is pretty cool. What if we did this? Can we do this? Can we put this in the record? And so that was, I mean, so that's why I think this was sort of the most satisfying team you know, that I was on, because we went from, you know, all paper to partially electronic with people asking for more.
Yeah. It's fascinating how when you give them a taste of what's possible, they want more. I've seen that a few times in the implementation of technology. It's also interesting how quickly we take it for granted, the speed, right?
And the reliability.
Yeah.
And the
we forgot how hard it was to read a chart or to even find a chart, right? Like, let alone, you know, now it's so easy and they just take it for granted. It's fascinating.
You know, those were the days when you know, when To Err Is Human came out and they were publishing examples of doctors' handwriting and errors that were made because of, you know, illegibility and misinterpretation. And we had our own examples, just like every hospital did. So yeah, it's a different world.
Yeah. You know, as you look at everything that's happening, there's a lot of noise, I'd say. A lot of people saying a lot of stuff. Is there something that not enough people are talking about that you think they should be, that, you know, maybe there's a few people, but, you know, like that there's not enough focus on?
So I think there's a couple areas. I think that with everything that's going on and as busy as everybody is, I think one area that still deserves more attention, and by attention I also mean, you know, dollars, you know, from the organization, would be truly advanced clinical decision support. You know, things that are sort of patient targeted versus just, you know, generalized. I think that pharmacogenomics, you know, the idea of using data for, you know, genetic data, genomic data in the EMR in real time to make clinical decisions, I think is an area that needs to be explored more. And then I think from sort of a larger perspective, I think that we've talked about truly measuring outcomes as a way to define success and failure, and I still don't think we're there. So, you know, measuring a hemoglobin A1C as a you know, a measure of control and therefore success with your diabetes population is different than measuring whether or not they're performing the same activities of daily living, whether or not they're not only back to work, but back to work and functional and happy, you know, whether or not they've returned to what the patient perceives as sort of a normal lifestyle for them. You know, this is very hard to measure because some of it becomes subjective based on the patient's perspective. But I think it's how we're going to truly define success at some point. And as healthcare organizations move into more value-based and risk-based contracts where these outcomes are really going to define success or failure, I think that in the IT world, we need to continue to push to find better ways to measure it and get it in the record without creating additional burden on the people that need to collect and enter that information.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's fascinating. I don't think we are doing that. I don't know many people who, you know, maybe there's a little pockets here or there. That's right. Fascinating. The advanced clinical decision support, I mean, it's interesting because we've done some clinical decision support for a long time. Sometimes even before the EHR, right? Like, which is fascinating. I kind of see that Gen AI may leapfrog that. We'll see how it evolves. I think people are a little scared, you know, because of hallucinations and different things. But I think that type of machine learning and generative AI technology, anyway, that's kind of my view. It'll be interesting to see how clinical decision support evolves thanks to those technologies.
Yeah, I agree. I think that today the idea of improving CDS is a lot about reducing clicks, right? It's like, make our decision support better. Either I just get too many alerts and I'm, you know, ignoring them. And so how can we make that better? And whether or not it's more advanced technology, and then, like you just said, you know, using AI to even push that further, I think is where there's some opportunity.
Yeah. And here's a little prediction on my part. I actually think ambient clinical voice is going to become the interface for the many doctors. And then that's where the clinical decision support is going to happen in real time on top of the ambient clinical voice. So anyway, people can
try. No, that'd be great. It would, when it really works, and and EMRs have shown sort of, video demos of this is what it would look like with the, the clinician coming into the room and just talking to the patient. And meanwhile, behind them is the monitor and, and all the text is appearing with, like you said, decision support. I think that would be great, so that we can interact and be closer to the patients than we are today, as opposed to sitting behind a keyboard. So yeah, I think it would be great.
Yeah. What's powerful is we're almost there. Like you can see it. Like you said, there's demos available. They need some maturity. I've been seeing
them demos for, 7 years, and I haven't been a CMIO for three now, so it's still ain't there. So we still got a ways, I think.
Yeah. Well, we always like to wrap up with a little career advice. You gave one piece of advice earlier, so I don't know if this is a double up, but what was the best piece of advice that you've been given in your career?
So I think I had mentioned, one, always tell the truth. It's much easier to navigate the organization if you don't have to think about what I told one person versus another.
Yeah.
And I think for clinicians that are thinking of going into informatics, in sort of that broad sense, I think my advice would to always be open to, always be open to possibilities, to opportunities. And at least from my perspective, in terms of my career planning all along, I never quit my day job. So I always was seeing patients regardless of how busy I was with, either the IT world or my volunteer activities, thinking that if either they, I always had that sort of feeling that one day I'd walk in and they'd say, Don, we finally realized you have no idea what you're doing. So you're done. And it was like, okay, I'll go back and just see more patients and be a pediatrician again. So I think having that fallback allowed me to take some risks in terms of how far I went into my IT career. And I think it served me well.
Well, and it grounds you in what the patients and the doctors are experiencing. So I think that's powerful. I love your tell the truth. It reminds me of who was that wrestler that was governor of Minnesota? He said, I don't have to have a good memory because I always tell the truth.
Jesse Ventura.
Yeah,
Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, good advice. Well, Don, this was a lot of fun. I appreciate you sharing some great stories and some perspectives on the position of CMIO. And thanks, everyone, for watching and listening. If you want to find more great healthcare IT content like this, be sure to check it out at healthcareittoday.com or search for the CIO podcast by Healthcare IT Today on your favorite podcasting applications. Thanks, Don.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Always fun.